Good Morning Football is a production of the NFL in partnership with iHeartRadio.
Good Morning Football!
Run it back! Run it back! Welcome to Good Morning Football. We're live in New York City running it back for two last times until we get a little shut-eye on the weekend. It's February 17th. Drake's happy about that. Yeah. Kyle Brandt is here. We've got Super Bowl champion Sean, O'Hara.
Good morning. How you doing, Miss Adams?
I'm great.
Don't you guys feel like we need some victory cigars? Like I feel like...
Sure.
That was that's like the new theme now.
Yeah, Stafford was...
That everybody rocks
them. Mm-hmm. No. You didn't bring them?
No. Okay. No, I didn't get the memo.
Okay, well, we've got lots to talk about. We've got our show. We've got the Super Bowl parade. We heard from the Super Bowl champions. It is time for the lead block.
Lead block.
Yeah, here's what I did. I went back there, chopped up a little reel, a little best of moments here. This is the parade, the streets of Los Angeles, the campus of USC, double-decker buses, and it all ended at the Los Angeles Coliseum. Cooper Kupp in a Kobe jersey, the Rams' original home, of course, the Coliseum from back in 1946. Okay, fist pumps, love it. It's pretty pretty fun. Should we hear what they have to say?
I think we should have some volume.
Let's do it.
That's the best part about football. It's the greatest team sport there is. Our brightest stars shine their brightest. But, man, it's about the team, and these guys are world champs. Told these guys the other day, 55 stories, 55 rings. Now there's 56 stories, 56 rings. It's their story, your story, too. Give it up for L.A. Rams, baby! This is for the city of L.A. We did it at home. Ain't no special way we celebrating with you guys tonight. We're going to enjoy this, man. So I want you guys to enjoy this with us, man.
Sean McVay just tapped me on the shoulder. He wanted to know if you were interested in running it back.
Run it back! Run it back! Run it back!
We built a super team. We can bring the super team back. Why not run it back? We can be world champions.
Yeah!
We appreciate you guys so much, man. This is unbelievable to be out here today celebrating with you guys. It's an unbelievable journey we've been on. So many ups and downs, but you know what? You guys are right there with us, and we appreciate you.
I'm standing here in this city that knows nothing but championships. We're out here celebrating this championship. Kobe's a part of this. He belongs here. And I'll tell you what, he set the standard. All I know, get back to work, let's run it back.
5 years ago, I was told I was a little too old. And I was told that maybe my time was done. And I tell you this, for every single person standing out there that's ever doubted anything you've ever done, bet on yourself, because 5 years later, I'm holding this trophy up and I'm 40 years old.
Fun parade.
Hell yeah.
Before we get into this topic we're supposed to get into, thoughts of the parade? Did you guys enjoy what you saw, Shrakes?
Mm-hmm. Awesome, yeah. And they were all, Aaron Donald goes, I apologize if I slur my words. I've had a few to drink tonight. Mm-hmm, and then he gives his speech. They were awesome. I think McVay sounded like a professional wrestler. A little Ric Flair in it.
Yeah.
Now it's 56.
Now it's 56 stories. But the key thing was that McVay said he's coming back. Uh-huh. Aaron Donald kind of said he was coming back. Uh-huh. And it looks like Von Miller wants to come back. It's always nice in the parade. We'll see how it goes.
Always nice in the parade. Yeah. They all had that like drunken wedding speech voice. Yeah. Like,
you're
the
right.
The octave was a little like a half off, but you knew they were still there trying to hold on.
The weather was perfect too.
Yeah.
I mean, you're going to have a parade. Like, you know, I think about some other cities, you have a parade and it's like everybody's bundled up. Sure. You can't even tell who is that guy. All you can see is their face because it's freezing cold out. For them, obviously the weather and having the double-decker sightseer buses.
Mm-hmm. I mean, it was really cool.
In LA, you see those things all the time. So perfectly
star maps,
ready. They were already ready for all that stuff.
Yeah, Donald looked amazing. I mean, I just want to look at Aaron Donald with the shirt off and the chain. It looked like he was going to rip the ball off the Lombardi Trophy and just throw it. It makes you want to do about 5,000 push-ups.
That thing is so heavy.
I know.
Whitworth is waving. I'm like, oh my God, it's literally so heavy.
Yep.
Okay, more on the parade in a bit, but let's talk lasting memories. This 2021 Rams season, postseason run, Super Bowl win. what sticks out and what will stay with you?
The Mic'd Up came out yesterday, too. And a lot of it is like Cooper Kupp and Matthew Stafford just telling them each other they love each other. And I feel like that is what my lasting memory of this team, those two players and what they did this season. Kelly Stafford, Matthew's wife, has a podcast. And on the podcast, it's called The Morning After. They had Matthew Stafford on this week. And it was literally 7 a.m. on Monday morning while they doing our show. Stafford's got the hoarse voice. They were coming straight from Drake's house where they were partying. And Stafford says that he and Cooper Kupp, during their downtime during Super Bowl week, took out a pad and a pen and tabulated all the extra time away from the facility that they have spent together this season. And it came out to being 500 hours, the equivalent of 21 extra days since Matthew Stafford was traded that they've spent together, just the two of them. And he's like, 500 hours. He's like, I have spent more time with Cooper Kupp than I have spent you, my wife. And it actually showed up and you saw it in the biggest moments. What I'll think about are those huge, huge, huge fourth quarter clutch plays. And let's see a couple. Let's go to this one first. It's the For the Love of the Game route. And it's Cooper Kupp against the Buccaneers after giving up a 24-point lead, just darting. And Ndamukong Suh throws Matthew Stafford down, but it's a perfect dime and it sets up the game-winning field goal. Look at Sue. Boom! Mm-hmm. Sorry, Sue. This one wasn't going for you. It was going for this. Then there was the no-look pass on second and seven in the fourth quarter of the Super Bowl. You have to really trust somebody and really know where they're going to be when you can look the other way and you know exactly where that guy is. This is 500 hours, not the 10,000 hours, 500 hours.
That's okay. Gladwell.
It's the extra one. And it's a perfect pass, and it was a 27-yard gain when they mattered it most. And then the game winner in the Super Bowl. Who would be more fitting to catch it than Cooper Kupp? The entire last drive, it was Kupp, it was Kupp, it was Kupp. And they don't run this often. It was an outside fade. This is not a route that they run too often, but McVay said, hey, do it. They looked at each other. They've worked so much time together. At the end of it, when it's all said and done, here's what Cooper Kupp's numbers are going to be at the end of the 2021-22 campaign. The most catches ever, the most receiving yards ever, the most receiving touchdowns ever. And we put up his stats earlier in the week, and a lot of people tweeted back at me, yeah, but he played more games. That's the point. When you win playoff games and you go to the Super Bowl, that's the point. You get the more games and you get to add those up. Okay, that's what I'll remember. Cooper Kupp and Matthew Stafford, 500 extra hours, and now they each get rings, and so do 51 other men on that team.
Incredible. The most annoying question you can ask in 2022 is, will you come on my podcast? Do you think Stafford's like, I don't know, babe. She actually got him to come on? It's tough. It's tough to get those guests.
It took all season, though.
I know. Yeah, it took all season.
It'll only be 10 minutes.
Finally, now I'll do it. All right, what do you want to ask me? My lasting memory of the Rams will be them splashing the pot, just taking poker chips and putting them in the middle. This was a 7-1 team. They're doing great. They beat the Bucs. They beat the Colts. Like, they're just cruising. And they said on November 1st, nah, I don't think this is enough. November 1st, in the middle of the season, we're going to trade for Von Miller. We're going to trade a second and a third for this iconic all-decade type player. They bring him in. 10 days later, Odell Beckham is waived by the Browns, clears waivers. We're going to bring him in. And you know what's crazy is this all happened in the midst of a three-game losing streak. It was an ugly start, losing to all teams of the Packers, the Niners. They also lost to the Titans, three playoff teams. So there was this whole thing of like fake good, famous, not great. They can't beat anybody good. And then just in the end of it, look at what Odell did in the Super Bowl. Look what Von did in the Super Bowl. The Odell thing I just think is always going to be looked back on as what if. Because remember, like, he almost went to the Packers. Mm-hmm. And if he goes to the Packers, do they beat the Niners in that playoff game? I think there's a really good chance they do. Do the Packers go to the Super Bowls? Aaron Rodgers in the Super Bowl with Odell? Because think about how good Odell was. That's all a science fiction. The fact is, they were really good and 7-1 and cruising, and they're just like not good enough. If they don't get Von and Odell, they're not going to the Super Bowl. They're certainly not winning it. That's my memory. And I think we're going to be talking about it a lot this offseason and the next decade for other teams. Mm-hmm. It was the way they splashed the pot when they already had a winning hand.
Nice. Les Snead, I splashed the pot whenever I want.
That's right.
My KGB club. In there. All right, alligator blood.
Less look, KGB.
It's for me, it's this season with the Rams. It's all about Stafford and Kupp. Like you talked about, Peter, for Kupp, what an unbelievable season. Remarkable. Not just the stats, but the moments. Fourth down, game on the line. He comes through. And that relationship between him and Stafford, look, 500 hours, rarely can a quarterback and receiver get on the same page in such a short amount of time. They microwave it. And it got me thinking, like, wow, Matthew Stafford, like the relationship with the receiver. And I'm like, I kind of feel like we've seen this movie before, right? The season that Cooper Kupp had. Look at that. You were talking about the yards and it's more games. All right, Calvin Johnson had more yards in less games than Cooper Kupp. So the two best seasons ever by a wide receiver. Yeah. And guess who the quarterback was? Matthew Stafford. Cool. All right, so look, Stafford's like, look, this ain't new to me. I've been doing this for a while, and I feel like the relationship of a quarterback and his team, absolutely important. But the instincts between him and his receivers, it is so vital. And I think you've also got to have a little sense of humor to it, too. You've got to have a little accountability. And you know you're tight with your boys. We're talking about microwaving things. Yeah. Odell Beckham came halfway through the season.
Yeah.
And yet he and Stafford are on such good terms that OBJ could even have a little fun with Matt Stafford. I don't know if you caught this mic'd up moment from the Super Bowl. This is after Odell Beckham catches the touchdown pass on that little fade route. And here's his interaction with Stafford.
Turbo set.
He spins it right side looking for Odell Beckham Jr. He high points the football and has the six. Touchdown, OBJ!
Hey, where'd that ball hit you? Good? It's a good spot, just kind of right out in front?
I mean, Eli used to throw it a little, like...
No, I just couldn't see it.
Yep. I don't know why you didn't wear number 10. All you throw is dimes.
I don't know why you don't wear number 10. All you throw is dimes.
Says Eli threw it a little bit.
He had time for a little joke.
In jest there a little bit. But how about Stafford saying, hey, you okay with where I put the ball? Like, what's he going to say? Like, no. Yeah. I'd rather head just a little bit over here.
Mm-hmm. If the keyword is lasting, the lasting memory is going to be Kupp. It's the measuring stick, right? In 5-10 years, maybe for the rest of time, he'll be on the other side of that full screen when we put up a graphic and say, this wide receiver in 2030, he's doing somewhere near what Cooper Kupp did. He'll be, right? Won't he be, Shrakes?
Yeah,
he's the measuring
stick. Awesome.
And it's not just the game-winning, beautiful plays and the iconic drive in the Super Bowl. It is the regular season, which you talked about, Sean. It's all of it put together. I remember doing a profile about him before the draft, Shrakes. And there was a nugget about him breaking all of Jerry Rice's records, FCF style, in college, right? And everyone was looking over that and dismissing it and saying, like, different era, blah, 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 blah. Well, he's been putting up Jerry Rice seasons on the NFL level, so maybe we should pay attention when these things are happening. He's been tremendous. What a special season, but more than anything, when we talk about a receiver having a great year in years to come, it'll be measured against this guy's.
And he capped it off wearing a Kobe jersey.
He really did.
A parade.
Okay, it's not the measuring stick, it's the measuring
Kupp.
The Jerry Rice point.
Thank you. Jerry Rice
went to Mississippi Valley State. Cooper Kupp went to Eastern Washington. Yeah. Two of the greatest wide receivers. That's
talk
cool.
about it.
But it was like talked about, but I was like, yeah. And then it's like, oh, no. And I was doing it on the biggest stage, and I was getting a Super Bowl ring wearing that Kobe jersey. All right, coming up next, we've got a handful of topics, and we are going to let you know if we believe it or not. Stay with us. More parade footage. Nobody threw the Lombardi at anybody?
I don't think so. Not yet. No. There's not a lot of bodies of water.
I think Aaron Donald broke it over his knee.
Could have.
Time for a little something called Believe It or Not.
Nice.
What, I did that on my phone.
What just happened?
I just did it on my phone. I was getting ready during the commercial break. How cool was that?
That was great.
I made sound effects. Wow. It's a triangle.
That just brought the house down.
That was great.
We've done it a thousand times.
Kyle's house. That's
pretty cool. Oh, it's still playing now. Yeah. Ding! That was fun. The rest of the show's gravy.
Wow. Yesterday at the Rams parade, my mind is like, I was not expecting that sound at all. We heard Sean McVay. We heard from Aaron Donald. We heard from Matthew Stafford. Everybody, a handful of other Rams players, saying that they are ready to run it back. So believe it or not, the Rams are Super Bowl favorites.
Yeah, let's go.
This is the conversation heading into 2022. Shrek, let's go.
Yeah, they're Super Bowl favorites.
What do you mean, Peter?
They're Super Bowl favorites. Stafford's coming back. McVay, we think, is coming back. Aaron Donald, we think, is coming back. And I think they're going to – Stan Kroenke's going to use the resources to bring back Von Miller. And Odell Beckham, you know what? If Odell Beckham tore his ACL and he comes back in week 8 or week 9 next season, it's exactly what they got from him this year when they traded and they signed him in week 8 or week 9.
He looked good.
I think all the pieces are there. They've got the youth where they need the spots, the Ernest Jones types. And on offense, of course, Van Jefferson and those guys, they're all coming back. So – they don't have the picks to necessarily draft the next great whatever ever, so they're going to go with these veterans, and that's what they're going to do. And look, they bring back just about everyone except the coaches. They have Sean has to fill 7 different coaching spots in the next few days. I was asking him, like, are you going away? He's like, I think I'm going to Mexico, but first I have to hire 7 people for our staff in all key positions, offensive coordinator. And
7 personas.
It's like, we'll get there at some point. But I don't think that that's a problem or a challenge that they've had to overcome before they haven't. So I'm going to say yes.
And even if they lose a piece, like, let's say, you know, you're saying they are going to use the resources. They don't have a ton of capital. If they can't come to terms with Von Miller, will they still be okay?
I think so. I think they're still the favorites. If we were to do the Vegas thing right now, I think right now I would put my money on the team that just did it and has the experience and bring back that head coach and that Aaron Donald.
Hard to argue.
It is.
Yeah, I like to give respect to the defending Super Bowl champions, you know, and who are we to sit up here and say, no, you're not. But I also feel like the AFC was better this season. I feel like the AFC has some better players. And look, it's a great point about the Rams. This is poaching season now, right? Everybody's going to pluck players from the Super Bowl champions. Everybody's going to pluck coaches from the Super Bowl champions. They want to, you know, this league is all about parity, right? But I look at this AFC and I think, man, Patrick Mahomes, like, I feel like he's in the AFC championship game every single year. Josh Allen, it's between Mahomes and Allen. And I tell you what, if Mahomes was in the Super Bowl, I don't know, it might have been a different outcome. If Josh Allen was in the Super Bowl, and that's not throwing any shade on Joe Burrow. I'm just saying, I think those two teams are two of the best teams in the NFL right now. So they've got a lot more people coming back. The Rams have a lot of work to do. So that's kind of where I lean to right now. If I'm thinking about 2022, who's going to be the best team right now? It's one of those teams.
Here's the deal. Initially, I heard the question, how? Come on, no. But then you start thinking about it. The AFC is just this Royal Rumble, all right? It's impossible to pick a winner. Bengals, Bills, all those teams you mentioned. I don't know who's coming out of there. The NFC, it's not who's the best team next year. It's who's the Super Bowl favorite. That means go to the Super Bowl, win it. We have to watch what's going to happen with Rodgers and Russ. I think Stafford might be the best quarterback in the NFC next year. Because if you take Rodgers, let's just take Rodgers and Russ and just put them in a little bubble. Who are you taking over Stafford? Are you taking Dak Prescott? Because the Cowboys are a joke. I'm not even ready to talk about the Cowboys.
Kyler Murray?
No, can't do it. Can't do it. Just Kirk Cousins. That's it. Whereas in the AFC, there's like 7 dudes. The NFC is like, Matt Stafford, I just won the Super Bowl. I'm ready. Like, I actually do think, depending on who comes back, of course, I'm ready to say it, that I think next year, if Rodgers and Russ leaves, even if just Rodgers leaves, I think they are the favorite in the NFC for sure, and then we'll see what happens in the Super Bowl. But Matthew Stafford could start the season next year, could, as the best quarterback in the NFC, and then we're cooking with gas.
There's the only thing point. Against, the only argument you can make against it is just how hard it is to win back.
Sure.
To back, right? That's no, what is it? Almost 20 years we've never seen it done, so that has to play into that. And maybe that's something that's motivating them, because what else can they do? McVay has gone to the Super Bowl twice in 5 years. He won one. He's getting offers. He's the belle of the ball. Maybe the allure of coming back is being like, you know what? Brady did it. What
are
you
doing? My triangle went off again.
Belle of the ball.
Sorry. My triangle went off.
Jessica is going to come out of here and take that toy away from you very quickly.
I pulled dead hands,
very
Jessica.
Very quickly. But you know what I'm saying? Like, it's not easy to do, and that's what makes it interesting, I guess. Because AFC is going to nuke each other. You're absolutely right. Especially if Rodgers goes there and joins that Royal Rumble in the AFC.
I know. And I saw a thing about the Bengals. I saw a stat that 12 straight years, the losing Super Bowl team has not been back. That's the streak. It's an active streak. So, like, that's what the Bengals are up against. 12 straight years. It's tough.
All right. Aaron Donald, guys, also tough. Let's also go. Unstoppable. He's a force. He was in Super Bowl 56, and he has been for every year he's been in the NFL, and he entered the league back in 2014. Believe it or not, Aaron Donald is the best defensive player of all time. Peter, you were wearing that hoodie. You were feeling yourself last week. Loosey-goosey. Best defensive. Do you still feel that
way
right now?
I said it on Monday and got a lot of blowback.
Really?
Yeah, a lot of blowback.
You getting some blowback this week?
You said you might like him more than Lawrence Taylor.
Yeah, and yesterday when I said that Joe Burrow was the top quarterback in the AFC, I mean, I can't even turn on Twitter. People are like, guys, it's February 17th. We're saying things, and I don't know if you want to take that much gravity into it. I'll say this, and Chris Russo from Mike and the Mad Dog fame was on ESPN today, and he was bringing up other names, and might not be for the target demographic, but different eras have different players that were doing what Aaron Donald was like. Bob Lilly, when he was with the Dallas Cowboys, was destroying offensive lines. Like, Bob Lilly in number 74 on the inside, like, this guy was just dominant, and they would have to have 3-4 people to block him. He did what Aaron Donald did. It was just a different time. It wasn't quite the same thing. Okay, Lawrence Taylor, when he was with the Giants, redefined the position. Like, you didn't have an outside linebacker flying in from all angles. Just tosses them like rag dolls, like a bunch of crazed dogs, if you know the Kenny O'Brien clip.
That's right.
Troy Aikman, really good quarterback. Guess what? Lawrence Taylor, really good linebacker. So, like, I can't say he's the greatest of all time because I don't think it's the same sport as it was and all these different. I think they're all greats and they're all on the same level. But like, I can go through Deacon Jones, I can go through Bob Lilly, mm-hmm. I can go right through. But I do think he's in the conversation, which I think is a very, 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 very high praise. Mm-hmm. It's not disparaging anything from Aaron Donald. But yesterday they were referring to him as the GOAT. Bob Lilly and Lawrence Taylor, mm-hmm. they might have an argument. Mm-hmm. Me and Joan Green might have something to say
about
that.
Okay, so he's in the conversation as the greatest of all time. Does he have to keep playing to be the unquestioned greatest of all time?
I don't think so. I think he's done it. I don't think there's anything to do to get above Lawrence Taylor or above Bob Lilly or above Mean Joe Green. Mm-hmm. Sean, I don't know. What do you think?
Yeah, I'll disagree. I think he has to keep playing. I think longevity is a big part of it. Okay. You're rolling back the footage of Bob Lilly and the Dallas Cowboys. And I love, you know what's old school footage when you hear the music coming on? Like the
it's
old
a piccolo. School. God, it's so good.
Look, Randy White was a stud down there back in the day. Bob Lilly for sure. I mean, I look at Merlin Olsen, a former Rams player himself, 14 straight Pro Bowls. I mean, there are a lot of people that would have Merlin Olsen
footage
ahead of Aaron Donald. Different game, different time, but Merlin Olsen was a game wrecker. So I think you look at Aaron Donald and the Rams, and it's like, man, like there are a lot of older Rams fans that may have Aaron Donald second to Olsen. I'm with you, Triggs. I think LT is the best defensive player to ever play the game. He completely dominated and just savaged offensive minds and blocking schemes. And he changed the way the game is handled. And I think when there's one other guy that comes to mind when I think of best defensive player of all time. We're not just talking about defensive tackles. Give me the minister of defense.
Sure.
Like Reggie White, what he did to other 320-pound offensive linemen. Is just, I mean, it's criminal. It's unimaginable, the destruction that he created. And, you know, of course, him going to Green Bay and you know, what they did there, that speaks for itself. But I think Reggie White was one of the most dominant defensive linemen of all time. I think Aaron Donald has to play for the Warriors. I think if he shuts it down right now, I think that hurts his conversation for best player all time.
Kyle, you got Merlin Olsen footage?
No, I don't. And I'm glad you bring that up. Here's the problem I have with these debates. None of us watched Mean Joe Green, all right? And I know we're aware of all these greats, and I know that we've studied them, and we've seen highlights, and we grew up watching them. But, like, even Lawrence Taylor, we were little kids, and you're not watching it the same way you are. So it's kind of like someone, you know, being like, you know, Marilyn Monroe, that was a movie. You don't know what that's like. You don't remember it. So I just look at a more contemporary example of the most dominant player that I've ever seen on the field who I would watch for four quarters, and give me Ed Reed. I've never seen a player better than Ed Reed, cover more of the field than Ed Reed, not even to mention the special teams. And also, like, there's a thing with Aaron Donald where it's 3rd and 9, you put the quarterback in the shotgun, he throws the pass. Aaron Donald can't really affect the play. Like, he's kind of marooned as a defensive tackle. Ed Reed was every single inch of the field, every single down, and we watched him. You know, you can watch Mean Joe Green highlights and you can read about him and hear your elders talk about how dominant he was, and that's all great. But when you watch a four-quarter game and see him every single play, that's how you really know. And like, so that's why I have a problem with some of these takes about the old-timers and Donald is better than, we don't really know. We're just going based on reputation. It's like reading a history book. You learn and you think you know, but until you watch not highlights and not tributes and not documentaries, an actual four-quarter game is when you can really start to estimate how dominant someone was for the whole career. And I've never seen a more dominant player in my life than Ed Reed, and that's my vote.
But you're not taking away from accolades, right? Because like, you're saying you have to, your thing about seeing them, like Lawrence Taylor, 2 Super Bowl rings, 3, what is the MVPs? What did he have? I have it here somewhere. He won a league MVP, 3 Defensive Player of the Year awards. Like, that's the standard, right? Is that matters to you, right?
I mean, Kay's right. That, like, all right, he won the MVP.
That's good.
Is Aaron Donald in the conversation for MVP?
That's why I was asking if he kept going, because to me, it's like he would have to surpass the accolades of a Lawrence Taylor. Like, you need another Super Bowl ring. That's the standard. You need an MVP. You need those Defensive Player of the Year awards. 3. Is that fair? Is that how this stuff's looked at?
It's very fair because the same voting community, whether it be different people, all voted Lawrence Taylor as the MVP of the league.
Yeah, those are like the Trump cards.
Yeah.
He should have been co-MVP.
It's a good point, though.
But it was 35 years ago.
I know.
And Peter, you're the one who's being like, don't give me those Jerry Rice things for Cooper Kupp and tell me it was a different league.
I know.
Because it's the same deal here. And I respect the accolades, of course.
And you could also argue that the offensive guards and centers are far better than they were back then and far more athletic training harder. Aaron Donald is amazing, but to call him the GOAT and have no argument, I don't know.
I agree. I agree.
Can I have a little more Cabo?
Let me get that.
Oh, yeah, hold on. I got a fever, and the only prescription is more triangle. Yeah!
The Super Bowl champions had their parade yesterday. I mean, Sean McVay, Kyle, giving Pat McAfee a run for his money.
McVay was just absolutely incredible. At the end of this, he's supposed to be out of battery. He's supposed to be out of his voice. And he's still, 55 stories, now there's 56 stories. Yeah! It's an inspiration. I love you, man. Great job.
Matthew Stafford, we don't hear much from him.
He's no.
There. Appreciate you.
Raheem Morris dropping expletives on NFL Network. Yeah. That was something.
I mean, who would do that?
No.
Only imbeciles.
That's it. Only fools. And I would like to give a shout out to J.B. Long.
Okay.
He was the MC. He's the radio voice. That is like trying to corral a bunch of uncaged animals up there, and he's up there, Stafford Cup, trying to get him in order. Meanwhile, they're all drinking from bottles of tequila that are this big.
Where was MJD?
Looked like Animal House going on behind him, right? And he's trying to corral everybody, and we got Andrew Siciliano and Kimmy Checks down there, and they couldn't hear a darn thing. It looked like a great party. It looked like a frat party at times, but Sean McVay, I thought he was going to dance. We didn't have the Mark Madsen moment, Mad Dog moment you were talking about.
No, Mad Dog didn't show up.
As much dancing as I thought I would see.
What was Odell's story?
Odell was there.
He was on crutches.
Okay. He was in the mix. He was awesome. Crutches. Jalen Ramsey was not there.
Interesting.
I don't know where he was.
Jalen Ramsey is nowhere to be seen.
Didn't make it.
I thought he'd be extra, as
Van,
they say.
Van Jefferson was there, and the baby was there.
Really?
The baby.
We got a name on that boy?
That. I didn't get to see that. Tell me.
3 days old. He was there.
Baby was there.
We got a name on the boy yet?
I don't know the name.
Come on, Peter.
Robert Woods got to speak.
Okay.
Awesome. I watched the whole thing.
Love Robert Woods. Yeah, Peter, you like live tweeted it. It was exciting.
I was enjoying it.
What was Les Snead's vibe? He's wearing a t-shirt.
Oh, yeah. It said, blank them picks.
And he yelled
He yelled it, and then LeBron retweeted the photo and said, this is my kind of guy.
And it was on the yellow hat, right?
Yeah.
I think Kara was wearing it.
Expletives.
Inside of the brim.
So hot right now. Expletives at GMFB.
There we go. Hold out our show.
It is time. We're really trendsetters, aren't we?
Corona
Mother's Day. Let's do it. Big guest, Eric Bell, Ernest Jones joining our show. Do not miss that, bud. Let's get to it as we look back at Super Bowl 56. There are some true signature moments that will live on in infamy, just like the second and seven no-look pass from Matthew Stafford. He did his thing. He's been doing it his entire career, but on the biggest stage on a game-winning drive. So I would like to know, and we'll take a look at that. No, this is,
one more
let's
time.
Just
let's
take
see.
A look. Take me through this, guys.
Turbo threat.
Four Bengals rushing Stafford. He steps up and deals over the middle. Cooper Kupp makes the catch. The Triple Crown winner cannot be stopped. Matthew Stafford's done it again.
Nice job digging in there on that cheese. Might be the best no-looker we got all year.
Okay.
Phenomenal throw and catch. Where does it stack up in Super Bowl history, though?
I love how he says that might have been the best no-looker we've had all year. Mm-hmm. Like, they do this on the regular. Like,
they
for them,
do.
It's like multiple times.
We're right. Digging all that
strong, low-key flex. All right, let's go back 10 years to Super Bowl 46. Giants-Patriots, part two, fourth quarter, 3 minutes, 46 seconds to go. Eli Manning is backed up down 2 points. And this happens.
Manning out of the shotgun set, and he's back to throw. Climbs the pocket. Deep ball down the left sideline, and it's going to be caught. Was he inbounds? Yes! Manningham on the sideline. The officials say he got his feet in at the Patriot at midfield.
Wow. That's just a great play.
Wow, he got his feet in.
That's a heck of a throw and a heck of a catch by Mario Manningham.
Truly iconic moments in Super Bowl history. So throw down number one, which was the superior Super Bowl pass, Stafford's no look or Eli's dart to Manningham?
Yeah, Stafford's pass is impressive, but give me Eli's dart to Manningham and give me that throw right there. It was the first play of the drive. They get the ball and it's like, all right, we got to make something happen. We need a big play. So it's boom, the very first throw. Like you see quarterbacks go out before every drive and they're always like take a couple throws before they go out and just kind of make sure everything's locked in, dialed in. That ball, I mean, I don't think I've seen Eli throw a tighter spiral. And in the breadbasket, that ball is out of bounds. Like, Mario Manningham catches the ball. The ball is literally over the white line. It's an unbelievable play. And to add to that pass, like, after the game, we all hear the mic'd up version of Bill Belichick saying, make them beat us with Manningham.
Right.
Like, we're taking away Hakeem Nicks. We're taking away Victor Cruz. Make him beat us with Manningham, and he did just that. It was an unbelievable throw.
Where'd you watch that one? I know you were obviously the center for the first one. Then they win the second one. Where were you?
Yeah. I'd rather not talk about it.
Really?
I was on the couch.
Were you honestly,
my boys.
Like, all your boys?
I mean, I was two-fisted on the couch, like just like, you know, those are my guys. Rooting for Snead, yeah. Kevin Booth, David Boss was the center, Deal, Kareem, Eli, B. Jacobs.
Did it break your heart, kind of, or were you just all happy and excited for them?
Oh, man, I would have loved to have been there and been a part of that game, but I was happy for those guys and happy for you know, the staff and everybody that wasn't a part of 42.
Yeah.
Because there were a lot of guys on 46 that weren't a part of 42.
Yeah. It's like when Burleson's watching our show right now, he's just heartbroken.
I'm sure.
The biggest compliment I can give to the Stafford pass is that it just looks so casual. It looks, he was so confident, and even your point afterwards was like, oh, that was probably the best no look we've had all year. I feel like, and this is again, I feel like if he did this 10 times, I think he would complete it 6 times, which is why I give another vote to Eli. I think that he is completing that pass 1 out of 30. It's just 1 inch the other way, as good as this is. 1 inch the other way between those two Patriots defenders. It's broken up. It's intercepted. It's still the most miraculous throw I think I've seen in any game, not only just the Super Bowl. It really was. And the big part of it is, maybe you'll get into this, Peter, Manningham's catch was far superior to Cooper's catch. So maybe that's a vote for Stafford. But I honestly, 30, 40 times, I think this is the one time it comes up complete. Oh, it was that good of a pass.
This is going to be a hot take. Might be the greatest pass in Super Bowl history.
I hear you.
And that's with Santonio Holmes' catch in the back of the end zone from Ben. It's with the helmet catch that you were a part of.
Yeah.
This one here, and then they go to the Jumbotron and the mic'd up, which we don't have here, which was legendary, is Victor Cruz and Manningham are looking at it. And Victor's like, did you really catch that? He goes, yeah. I think I did. Like, they were shocked. And I'll add on one more element to it with that. On the other sideline was Brady and Gronk and Aaron Hernandez and all those Patriots guys on that offense. Like, they had to score there. This one here, the defense was carrying it. Second and 7, if they don't convert that one, maybe. But, like, if they don't convert that one to Manningham, I'm not sure they win that second Super Bowl.
Inside his own 10, anything less than a perfect ball, and that gets picked off.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I mean, that's why the ball was, you know, it was a great throw because it was out of bounds. It was like, Mario is catching or nobody's catching
it. What does Eli say? Does he say that's a better one than the helmet catch? Like, do you ever talk to him about it?
Yeah, I think the helmet catch was just kind of like, man, I'm just playing ball here and just I'm hoping somebody made me look good here, because like late over the middle, usually it's like, I remember when that throw happened, in my mind I'm thinking, oh no, like, you don't do that, like, that's the worst thing that you could do as a quarterback. But yeah, I think that throw to Manningham, I think that as a quarterback, you talk about fitting the ball in
that's
the window,
one.
Like, that window was this big, and it was like he was putting smoke through a keyhole. That's how close that was.
Smoke through a keyhole.
I never heard that one
Neither
before.
Have I.
What was a better Super Bowl throw, that one or the one where Mahomes was falling forward fully vertical and threw it incomplete and everybody lost their mind? That one was incredible. It didn't even count. Right off of Tyreek's face.
Kyle, it's time for your favorite thing to talk about. Fashion.
Let's do it.
Finally, there was the parade yesterday. There was no mummer's costume, but we were treated to some interesting fashion choices. So who had the better look? Was it Aaron Donald sans shirt or Andrew Whitworth's T-shirt paying tribute to Cooper Kupp, Shriggs?
I'm going
to
go Aaron Donald, because the T-shirt, I thought Andrew Whitworth got that pressed and made, and hopefully we can show the image again so everyone at home can get this. It's Cooper Kupp's high school photo, and it's him shirtless. And I'm like, oh, my God. Whitworth, this is incredible. Whitworth went out of his way to make this shirt, to put this together. He went to a custom press. Like, how did he do this? This is brilliant. And then Whitworth gets on thinking, and he's like, some fan threw this to me, so I put it on. I thought he made it. So it's just putting on a T-shirt. It's not the same thing. It's a great look. But I'm going to go with Aaron Donald shirtless, which was just such a flex, and no pun intended, on the rest of the universe, and saying, this is what I look like. He's got a giant gold chain. Aaron Donald going shirtless with an incredible...
Look at the back! Oh, my God.
It's like a swimmer's back, Kyle.
God, look at the delts. Look at the lats.
Jules, look at you. You look like you're about to explode. You got bumps all over you. The back's even worse than the front.
This is just a freak, and he was on display. So, yeah, I'm going to go Aaron Donald. Whitworth, if you made it yourself, maybe, but just was wearing someone else's custom-made shirt.
Context matters.
Nitpicking, Peter.
Give me big Wit, and I'm going to go to the contrary just for that reason. Like, Wit already had his outfit on, and it was like spur of the moment. Dude, you just threw me a Cooper Kupp shirt? Yeah, you know what? Damn right, I'm going to rock this thing out. Give me Whitworth on this one all day long. Now, I love Aaron Donald, and I love the fact that he's jacked and he's yoked, but, like, I just feel like that picture right there. I mean, Cooper. I know Cooper Kupp didn't like that. He's like, mm-hmm. he kind of making me look like I belong in Superbad or something right there.
Cletus.
But for Aaron Donald, like the shirt off, and then all of a sudden, next thing, somebody else does it. Like, it kind of feels weird, right? You're like hanging out with a bunch of dudes, and it's like a couple guys have their shirts off, uh-huh. and it's kind of like, hey, this is kind of weird. Like, you're kind of like rubbing up against me
yeah.
a little bit.
You know, kind of like it.
It was like when I played for the Browns, LL Cool J came and played a concert for us right at the end of training camp. And like in one of his last songs, he's playing a concert for 55, 70 guys. Players? He takes his shirt off.
Yeah.
It's like, there's not one single female in the entire audience. And he takes his shirt off, and it's a bunch of guys. Everybody was like, okay, you kind of step back a little bit. So I'm sure Aaron Donald had plenty of deodorant and a perspirant.
What
but it just felt, it feels a little weird when you're hanging around with a bunch of shirtless dudes.
Not for me, man.
On the biggest stage in the world.
I love it. It's Donald. It's not even close. Yeah. The guy's the defensive tackle with an 8-pack. I mean, this is not...
Troy Aikman would
Ted Washington. You know, this is not Sam Adams. Sam Adams, Keith Traylor. They play the same position as that guy. And he's got a 6-pack. Listen, I wouldn't even own a shirt if I was Aaron Donald. You should never put one on. He should play without pads or a jersey. Just play out there like that.
One game at least.
Just play like that.
Like a preseason game.
Block him. I dare you.
No helmet.
You bring on anybody you want. Larry Allen, the greatest interior lineman of all time. Sean O'Hare, you will not block that man. We've seen a lot of outfits at these parades. We've seen a lot of different stuff. My favorite one is just him taking his shirt off. It is a beautiful athletic specimen, a beautiful man. The only way I'd like it better if he took his pants off too.
Wow!
Let's do the whole thing. Whoa. Come on, Aaron. That's here next year.
That's
run it back.
Run it back.
Just tear him off, and then we'll have the full glory. That's
you want
what
tear,
I want.
You want
that's
tear want. Off pants on him? Tear off ones.
Just tear him off.
Or just tear off ones that aren't tear off pants, but he's so strong.
They could be made of Kevlar, Adams, and he will just rip them off, and we'll go.
Corduroy just rips it off.
That's the perfect man. He could have had Aaron Rodgers' suit from the honors. The corduroy just tear that thing off, man. And now we're cooking.
It's just great wow. that we're getting so much content out of Donald, who's notoriously like this. Just
he brought it, man. He looked like Clubber Lang up there.
I know.
I just love this new...
Hey, pretty lady.
Leaf.
Media-friendly Aaron Donald.
I think he's always been media-friendly. I just feel like he's so focused on being the best defensive player, being the best player in the National Football League, that now we're getting personality out of him that I've never seen.
Agreed. And I think Stafford, too. You've always said Stafford's kind of vanilla. He let it loose this week.
No, he should. He let it loose. The whole family did. He's on the podcast. He's doing his thing. He had a baseball bat-sized bottle of tequila just openly pulling from it.
Y'all.
Yeah, I think it was almost empty, too.
Happy for y'all. Joining us now is another Rams player. This one has played 13 seasons in the NFL, retired for 2 years, and then jumped back onto the team in the month of January for their epic Super Bowl run. He is now a 6-time Pro Bowler, a 2-time first-team All-Pro, and now a Super Bowl champion. Eric, what's up, man?
Let's go!
Champions. 37 years old. 2 months ago, you're an old man. Would you consider a return to the NFL? You're 2 years removed from the NFL. How would you summarize A, that interaction with McVay, and then B, the last 60 days of your life?
It feels like a dream that I left my world behind. For 5.5 weeks of picking up kids and coaching my son and drop offs, making dinner. And then I left that for 5.5 weeks to go be a kid again and chase a dream that I thought was dead. Honestly, when you retire and you don't have a Super Bowl, the dream is dead. And to be able to have an opportunity to live that out again on a crazy whim of an idea was pretty special, and to be able to get it done like we did will forever be entrenched in the history books, man.
It really will. It sounds like a Disney movie. It really does, and that's not even all of it. So you finally get to the Super Bowl, and there's the last scene in the movie, but you just had to have a little more drama. You tear your
pants
in the first half of the game, not the last series. Yeah. You tear it. So take us through this. How did you get through the game? And how are you even getting through your life right now? Because I know you got little kids at home.
Yeah, when it happened, it was the eighth play of the game on the third series, and
wow,
I was on the ground, and it felt like I had someone just was like 10 feet above me and just all their weight just stomped on my chest. And I'm like, this something's wrong. This is nothing like I've never felt this like this before. And I kind of rolled over and I started rubbing it. And I'm like, oh yeah, thanks David for posting that. Like what? Unbelievable. Like I didn't.
Super agent David Cantor.
Yeah, I wake up and I got all these messages and I'm like, what's going on? And I'm like, David, yeah. What? I didn't, this guy, just put my whole life out there. But, you know, you got to love him. And honestly, all I kept thinking about was I got a job to do, right? I can't worry about my pec right now. I can't worry about my shoulder. I got a job to do. I got to get the play out. I got to call the defense. So basically I got kneed on the ground on that play. And then later in the series, this hit was just one of the worst pains of my life. I'm like, but hey, I got no tomorrow, right? I don't have next season. I don't have another game to play. So I just kept telling myself, man, just do it over. Play the play, get up, make the call, get guys lined up, and do it over again and again until the game's over. And thank goodness we won. I could tell you that, but it was pretty crazy. Not gonna lie. Watching it back, I really don't know how I did it.
We do. You're tough. You've been tough for 13 years. You've seen it year in, year out. You're also, when I look at you, and I've been talking to you in commercial break, veteran leadership just comes to mind. You go out there, and it wasn't just leadership because you crushed it. You were among the team leaders in tackles all postseason long. Then you have Andrew Whitworth out there wrapping up a Super Bowl season at the age of 40. I loved the images of you two celebrating after the game, sort of climbing all over each other, carrying each other around and celebrating. What do you think that says about OGs, as they say? What does it say about veteran leadership and how important it is in a locker room?
Well, there's always a role and a spot on a team for that position, right? For that leadership. Obviously, you have to be able to play to some extent. You don't want a guy just to talk the game, but you're not able to go do it, right? So, but when you get rid of a lot of older guys on a team, it does have effect on your team because the culture that is built and what you want, your older guys run the team. And the head coach is up there, you know, portraying what you want done, the culture, this is how we run things. But if your leaders don't follow suit, your head coach is irrelevant. So when you have that and you have that base, the older guys are an extension of your head coach and what you want done. So when you have a Whitworth, when you have a Stafford, when you have a Cup, when you have AD, you know, you have all these guys that are doing the right things and working hard and playing for each other and playing for the ultimate goal, the we, not me attitude, it trickles down to everyone within the organization. So putting me back in there, it just adds another element, another guy to push for greatness and knowing that I want what's best for everyone. It's not about me. It's about pulling whatever I can to get the best out of you for the ultimate goal, and that's the Super Bowl.
Well, we're adding E-Dub to that list of veteran leadership that you talked about, and your leadership was on display. You know, you mentioned there's nothing left to do in the game but go out and make the tackle and, get and make the call. So making the call, let's peel the curtain back on that a little bit. You've been with the team for 8 weeks, and they give you the green dot at the Super Bowl, which means that now the play call defensively is coming into you, and it's your job to get everybody out there. So you're dealing with this peck now, and all of a sudden you're getting the call, and it's like, man, I got to put it out of your mind. Number one, how did explain to us how the green dot came to you and what that was like. Did they ask you? Did you ask for it? And then take us through, like, still calling the play while your arms dangling at your waist.
Yeah. I mean, after the going into the Frisco game, the plan obviously was to start and to play. And then once I came through that game and got through it healthy, Sean walked up to me, I think Tuesday after that game. And we were just talking about the game and the communication and what we could do better. And he's like, hey, you're going to be wearing the dot on Sunday. It just makes sense. And I'm like, cool. Like, I did it my last year in LA. I did it a number of years in Baltimore, and I even did it back in San Diego. So, I like that. I like the pressure of that, and to let the guys go play and not think and let me do the thinking for them. And I just loved even more so knowing that I'll always have the call and the secondary will have the call. So you're not going to have those busts when you see on TV that a guy doesn't know what the call is and he's sitting there and the guy's running right by him and you're like, that's not a good look for defense. So I knew I was hoping it would happen. I wasn't going to pressure or push for it because, you know, I'm just trying to play my role and help the team. But I was pumped, mm-hmm. and I knew it was going to be great because I've done it before, and I knew I could be a calming influence during that game in such a big moment that the guys wouldn't have to think and worry about getting the call. I would be able to get it to them and get those alerts out and get us lined up and go in the Super Bowl. That's what we did.
Edub, thank you.
Thank
You're
you.
A Super Bowl champion. Hey, I know you've got family to go
Bowl
tend
champ,
to.
Baby.
But gosh, I thought we were done 2 years ago, and now here we are, and there's a whole other chapter. Kyle's right. I don't know if you're out in L.A. still, but there is a movie to be made about your career story and your return to the field and how valiant you were playing through injury. So happy for you. On behalf of the whole table, we love you, man.
I love you guys, too. Thanks for having me on. Super Bowl champs, baby. Always.
Let's go.